Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And hope you enjoyed Pastor Lutz's program here just before us. And stay tuned after us. Pastor Andy Rusnak of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid will be on after us. But I was talking to Pastor Lutz as he was heading out of the studio, and I don't know why, whenever I come in, he leaves, but he's a good guy, but he had a really good program, but I was saying his prayers were answered. Remember last week, it was so warm, mid-70s, I remember coming into the studio last week wearing short sleeve shirt, no jacket, and today, it's all white outside, and I said, well, Brother Lutz, your prayers have been answered, that nasty, nice weather is gone, and you're back to wintertime, and he was really pleased. But no, no. It's I hope if you're out there, you're safe on the roads. And I've had my fill of driving around here in this particular system because I was down in Copley and Bath Townships last night in some of the snow, and there was one stretch in Bath Township that normally would have taken about less than 10 minutes to drive, and it took a good 20 minutes to drive. The snow was coming down so hard, I couldn't even hardly see the end of the car, let alone the road out along, in front of the car, and just on a little two-lane road, and driving along, trying not to go into the ditch on the right side of the road. Next thing I knew, I was drifting across to the left side of the road, ready to go in the ditch over there, and then I had to try and figure out where it was at on the road. Just couldn't see anything, and it was coming down hard. And then my wife, who's a hospice nurse, was on call last night and got called out up to Lakewood. I actually was up actually pretty near where Pastor Lutz is at with the North Coast Baptist Church up there in Lakewood, and we had to go up there, and so I drove up with her, and going up 77 across 480 up the Jennings, slippery, snow coming down like crazy, cars, trucks off the road all over the place, and just absolutely, I didn't get sleepy driving, let me put it that way. And we got home a little after 3 in the morning, and has much, much more comfortable going with her than staying at home while she went out in the weather trying to, and then worrying about how she would have been. So, but we were glad to have been able to do that. Well, a number of things we're going to mention here real quick, and we're going to open up the phone lines. Of course, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on here. I got a couple people calling in already. And let's see, I wanted to mention, excuse me, again, our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Also, our Facebook page. You can go and find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. I encourage you to check those out. And we try to get a number of things up there. And also want to point out, too, if you know somebody who's in the Garfield Heights area who's looking for some part-time work, looking to make a little extra money, our sponsor over there, East Coast Pizza on Turney Road, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. They need a part-time pizza delivery person. You have to have your own car, and you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, or just stop in at East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, and ask for Gus, and he can help you get started there. And while you're there, let me recommend the pizza. I just had some yesterday. It's always good, so I just can't recommend it enough. So if you know somebody looking for some part-time work out in Garfield Heights area, check out East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. All right, well, Mention the webpage. Also, a reminder, you can visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We'd love to have you come out. We've got a Bible study tonight, 7 to 9, and roads are clearing up nicely. Snow's moving out, so we'd love to have you visit. And let's see, our first call tonight, or this afternoon, is Fran. We've got Fran calling in this afternoon. Welcome to the program, Fran.
Thank you. I was noticing on the news recently about Lithuania. Russians are trying to claim that back. They, not too long ago, did the Ukraine, where my family's from. And I'm just wondering, they're getting so many countries pulled back. What their main purpose is? They're trying to get together to work against America and Israel? Or what's exactly
we do know from the Bible, of course, that in Ezekiel chapter 38, there's a coming invasion, you know, of Israel, and Gog and Magog is identified there, and of course that's identified with Russia as well as the Ukraine and a number of those areas there. And of course you've got Vladimir Putin there, the leader in Russia. He is trying to put together the Russian Empire, sort of reconstituting the old Soviet Union, he's doing a number of things trying to bring these in. Remember, he euphemistically, we can say, annexed the Crimean Peninsula. Basically, he stole it from Ukraine. And remember, we've talked about that in the past. And he's trying to exert his influence over some of the Baltic states up there, you know, Latvia and Lithuania, Estonia, and of course, Belarus and other places in that part. And it is interesting because when you look at all of those countries and those areas there, they do tend to line up with the group that in Ezekiel chapter 38, where he says in verse 2, "Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal." And Meshech, linguistically and historically, is connected to Moscow and the Muscovites. And Tubal, Tublinsk, as well as the capital, Tobilsk, I think, capital of Georgia, right? Or is that Armenia? One of the two. But at any rate, you got the Asian Central Republic of Georgia and Armenia, Azerbaijan, and all of those Kazakhstan and places like that are all, you know, kind of drawn into that. And then, of course, when you get down later to Tagarma and of the North Quarters and all his bands, that kind of brings in certainly the Turks. And then Persia, that's Iran, is in there. Ethiopia, that would be basically south of where the Aswan Dam is in Egypt today, which brings you down into Ethiopia, Somalia, Chad, Eritrea, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, the different countries down there on that part of Africa. And then Libya, which gives you, you know, obviously Libya today, as well as going west across, you know, Tunisia and places like that, and probably down into the Sahara areas. And all those are going to line up. So, yeah, Russia's trying to do that, and they do. They come against Israel. You're absolutely right.
My second question was, how far is it from like the Black Sea in Ukraine and Russia going down into Israel? I mean, are they pretty close?
The Black Sea, you come down through there, and I'm trying to think of the name of the sea that's up above, because you've got the Ukraine on the west, you've got Russia on the east, and there's a body of water there to the north of the Crimean Peninsula. And then there's a little strait that goes through there down into the Black Sea, I believe. And then the Black Sea is just north of Turkey, and you've got the Bosphorus Straits, I believe it is, that where Istanbul is, which makes Turkey rather interesting. Turkey is a country that exists on the European continent and the Asian continent. And so does Istanbul. It exists on both, and because on both sides of the strait. But that comes down in to, I guess it's the Aegean Sea, which is you know, kind of a part of the Mediterranean Sea up there between Greece and Turkey and Syria and all that. And so having control of the Crimean Peninsula allows Russia to pass, you know, into the Black Sea very easily. And they can come down through there and with Turkey as one of their allies in this Ezekiel chapter 38 invasion, they'll have unfettered access into, you know, that the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, where they can come down to Israel pretty easily. It's I'm just going to guess off the top of my head. It would be like going from Toronto down to, let's say, Tampa, Florida, or something like that, Miami or something. That's going to be my best guess on that. Should have had a map in front of me here for this, but so that's a very active part of the world, and you know, we've got that, and then of course, as we've talked about before, there's another battle that'll take place probably before that, that's talked about in Psalm 83, which explains why Egypt and what today is Jordan, which has been Ammon and Moab and Edom, as well as Lebanon and Syria, are not mentioned in chapter 38, because the indication is that they're destroyed probably before the chapter Ezekiel 38 invasion there. And again, I could put a shameless plug in here on our website, livewithpastoral.com. There is a link to a book where I go into some of this, the coming Arab-Israeli nuclear war that I put together some 4 or 5 years ago, I guess it is now. I should try to update that someday. It's interesting how we see the different powers there coming together, because also in Ezekiel chapter 38, there's the mention of those who oppose this Russian-led invasion of Israel, and amongst them is Sheba and Dedan, which I believe from studying it out indicates the Saudi Arabian king, you know, the Saudis, as well as some of the Gulf states. And it's interesting that we see right now happening, today, we see that the Saudis and the Israelis, as well as some of the other Gulf states, are all exploring defense pacts with each other against Persia, against Iran, which is Persia. So, see how the sides seem to be lining up,
right?
In accordance with Scripture. So, you know, my belief is, when we see these things happening, you know, it's like the Lord said, when you see things happening, it's time to look up, because our salvation draweth nigh.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Well, thank you, Fran. I appreciate your call. And thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. And you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. And I believe we have Don calling in next. Don, welcome to the program.
Al, hey, thank you so much for letting me speak. You know, I grew up Roman Catholic, and I've been listening the past 2 weeks. Did you catch Pastor Alistair Begs It All?
No. I haven't.
He's been talking the past 2 weeks on the Sabbath day, but he keeps referring to it as Sunday.
Well, he's wrong.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
you know?
The Sabbath day is not Sunday. Sunday is what we call the Lord's Day. The Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week. Sunday's it's Friday when the sun goes down until Saturday when the sun goes down. The first day of the week is not the Sabbath day, and that starts Saturday at sunset and runs through Sunday at sunset.
Exactly right. You know, the reason why I said that is the fact that tonight at 7:30 on 1220, I call them the two talking heads, and they...
Yes, I'm sorry. We're just not going to advertise the program there right now, and, because you've actually called several times just kind of... you know, slipping that in about the other program. And I understand the desire to promote the Sabbath from, you know, Seventh-day Adventist, you know, perspective, but it's kind of unethical when a host of a program calls another program and recommends another program third hand. So we'll move on from that. But it's not that we don't want to talk about the Sabbath. You know, the Sabbath that was the day of rest. Remember when God created the heavens and the earth in the 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day, which was the Sabbath day. He called it the Sabbath. And he especially made that a binding thing upon the Jewish people, you know, as a sign to them, so that they would you know, be distinct from the other people. And of course, when Jesus died on the cross, he rose after the Sabbath ended, and that's why, you know, we see many Christians in the Bible and in history worshiping on the first day of the week. I mean, it's we can see in the book of Acts, for instance, Christians worshiping on the first day of the week, taking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We can see all of these things here, and I apologize, I didn't have any verses right in front of me right at the moment on that. But in Acts chapter, let's see, I'm trying to think. I think it's Acts chapter 20 where Paul is preaching, and he is preaching on the first day of the week, and he probably was preaching on Saturday night, and going from Saturday night, he preached until midnight. Remember, there was a young man that was in a window, in a loft. It was about three floors up, basically, and he fell asleep, and he fell out the window, and God worked a miracle and brought him back to life. So, you know, so we see them working together, worshiping on the Sabbath, bringing together their tithes and their offerings, not on the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, and things like that. And there was a move amongst Christians to try and bring Sabbath keeping back upon Christians. And, you know, every day of the week we can find in Acts chapter 2, where they were preaching and teaching and worshiping on every day of the week. And some people want to restrict that to just the Sabbath day. And some people even go so far as to teach the false doctrine that if you worship on Sunday, you've received the mark of the beast. And though there's a lot of Seventh-day Adventists that are very sincere people, they're sincerely deluded. They in regards to some of this business with the Sabbath, and also some of their belief and understanding of future end-time events. And that's because they follow Ellen White, who is made a series of blatantly false prophecies, and she even at one time in the mid-1800s said that the time for people getting saved was over. Nobody else was going to get saved again, and so as a consequence, you know, we see that this movement was kind of founded by people who were false prophets, and the Bible tells us that we should not pay attention to false prophets. So as a consequence, there, you know, we're just not going to deal with the Seventh-day Adventist calling and trying to promote false prophets and false teachings. You know, we have freedom of religion in our country, and people are free in their own time, their own dime to do that. But I want to go over here, I believe, to, let's see, take a look here I was trying to think, Galatians chapter 6 here. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, starting verse number 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And of course, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law of Christ there when he died on the cross, and he delivered us from the law. He accomplished in the law something that we can't do. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law." And that's what he's saying. When we try to put ourselves under an aspect of the law, and he's using circumcision there, we become a debtor to the entire law. And he goes on to talk about the difference between a law and grace there. And so we need to understand that Jesus fulfilled the law, and we are not under the law today. We are now under grace. And as an aside, if you're going to keep the Sabbath as a part of the law and make it binding upon believers today, then the fact of the matter is you're going to have to keep the entire law of the Sabbath. And I don't see anybody in the Seventh-day Adventist churches advocating stoning people for breaking the Sabbath. And so that's a problem that they have. But Jesus Christ has fulfilled us from the law. He did what we can't do. And he was in every aspect of the law obedient. He did not break the law. He fulfilled that. And now we're delivered from the law, which Paul elsewhere refers to as our schoolmaster or our taskmaster. It was there to point us to the fact that we need a Savior. And because we need a Savior, we realize that we cannot obey Christ. We cannot obey the law. Only Christ could, and he could only do it perfectly. And so when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, then the righteousness of God is taken away, or is put upon us. Our sins are taken away. The righteousness of God is put upon us, according to Romans chapter 3. And Colossians chapter 2 says this, and I like how it says this in Colossians chapter 2. It says, talking about identifying with Christ in his sacrifice, it says here, and I'll jump in verse number 13, "And you being dead in your sins, and the circumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Now notice this, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Did you catch what Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 16? "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." It can't be much clearer. He says, no man is to judge you in respect to the Sabbath day. Now, if somebody wants to worship on the Sabbath day and the Sabbath day only, that's fine. I have no problem with that. In fact, tonight at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, we will be meeting. And when that sun goes down this evening, it will officially be the Sabbath. And we will be there, and we will be meeting, and we will be studying the Bible together, and we'll be talking about the Lord and about his word and things that are happening in the world. And then on Sunday morning, we'll also be there. And that's not on the Sabbath day. That's the first day of the week. And we're not receiving the mark of the Antichrist by meeting there on Sunday and singing God's praises and worshiping him and looking into his word together. And then Sunday evening, we'll meet there again at 6 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, we'll be there. And when the sun goes down, guess what? It'll be the second day of the week. So this week, let's see. If the sun is up, well, the sun will be down, I think, by the time our Friday night Bible study starts. So we'll be meeting on the seventh day of the week. We'll be meeting on the first day of the week. And we'll be meeting on the second day of the week. all in this one weekend. And it doesn't matter what day of the week you meet on today. We have been delivered from the law of the Sabbath. And Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 16 makes that very clear. There's other chapter or passages that we could turn to, and we're fast running out of time. But we got to remember, they're a shadow of things that come, but the body is of Christ. You need Christ as your Savior. That's the important thing. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.